We are studying Hebrews chapter 12. Welcome to our study here on the Radio Bible Course. I'm reading from verse 1 today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The basis for the author's exhortation to run the race comes, first of all, from those examples of men and women listed in the Hall of Fame in chapter 11, beginning with Abel, one of the sons of Adam and Eve, and ending with unnamed martyrs who were slaughtered during the attempt by the Syrian king, Antiochus Epiphanes. He wanted to obliterate Judaism. Now, those terrible trials are related in the book of Maccabees. But Josephus also described the horrors that Jews experienced. Their bodies torn to pieces. They were strangled, crucified, and hanged. It is estimated that 80,000 Jews were killed rather than deny their God or violate his holy law. And looking at it logically, there really shouldn't be any Jews left, because all through the history of man, the Jews have been the object of persecution. No other family of people in the world has ever suffered as much as these people, and by all rights they should have been annihilated. But they're still here, and that's a testimony to the grace of God and the faithfulness of God, because he selected these people to be a witness on this earth. Now, some people get the idea, wrongly, that God chose those people to be saved. No, he didn't. He chose them to be his messengers and his witnesses on this earth. They were to witness of the one true God. They were to be the custodians of his revelation, which God gave through the prophets. And they had the privilege of bringing the Christ through their bloodline. All those mentioned and described in Hebrews chapter 11, and that included some famous names, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and there was Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and unnamed prophets. Now all these are presented to us as an example of faith. They are the cloud of witnesses who suffered but continued on in faith, witnessing of the good life above, witnessing of the faithfulness of God, and above all, the coming of the Christ. Now, they are presented as examples of encouragement. If they did it, so can we. So he writes, run the race. As I pondered this, I asked myself, are all Christians in the race? It appears so. It's the race set before us. But why call the believer's life of faith a race? For the reason that every serious race is a challenge that demands rigorous training, sacrifice, self-denial, discipline, a certain amount of pain, endurance, and patience. The Greek word for race, agon, suggest what a trial it will be to enter a race. We get agonized from that word. Now, those Old Testament saints were like runners who established records and made their marks in history. It cost them something. Moses gave up all the treasures of Egypt. Abraham was tested to determine how much he would give up and how much he would endure. He never quit the race. Our author knew something about running. His words indicate such. He uses words like weary, endure, perseverance, wait, faint-hearted, struggle, and discipline. Not all who enter races know what will be required. And I'm reminded of the popular Great River Road Run in Baton Rouge held every March. Many people enter it untrained, overweight, and without endurance. Now the entry form for that race requires a signature attesting to the fact that the runner is physically fit and has sufficiently trained for the completion of this event. There's plenty of endurance needed in that 6-mile run. Many don't know what that means. They get out there and run fast at first, but soon you see them walking. I have always been fond of running, haven't done it since I was 14 years of age. And in 1972, I entered the Nautical Mile Run in Los Angeles. Some who entered that race ran like champions, but only for about 300 yards. They thought it would be a breeze. They got out there and took off when the gun sounded. They didn't have any training. They didn't know anything about their own weaknesses, but they wanted a trophy, and they wanted it as soon as possible. Their problem was they ran out of gas after the first lap. Some quit. Some barely were moving at the end of the race. And they even passed the trained runners. But the trained runners were patient. They let the fools pass them, and they didn't make any attempt to keep up with them. They paced themselves, and the result was the men who had trained, who ran races regularly, who were disciplined, they finished the race, and they won the trophies. Those Christians who are young in the faith are like those novice runners. They are eager, enthusiastic, they want fame and glory. But the writer here tells us in verse 1 that we should lay aside every weight. Men who run regularly have already done that. You won't find much fat there. And when they enter the race, they shed their sweatsuits. That's an added weight. They wear loose, light trunks, lightweight shoes, and they often diet. Well, they better run without weight because someone has figured out that there are 800 motions that each leg makes in a mile run. Now, anything that holds a person back as a Christian is a weight. We are told in the Bible in Ephesians 4:22 to put off the old nature. In Colossians 3:8, we are told to put off anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk. And Paul writes, lie not one to another. A Christian who is serious about running this race for the Lord must deal with the temptation of the pleasures of the world so that he can have time with the Word of God. Then he's also troubled by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Then, too, other people are hindered by legalism. Some are too busy with laws and activities and rituals to run in this faith race. Paul asked the Galatians, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? He looked at their lives as runners in a race. Now, it's a lifetime race, not a sprint. It doesn't end in 10 seconds. So, enthusiasm is not as valuable as character. A person who wants to live for God and run the race of faith has to hang in there and bear the suffering. The writer talks about the sin that besets us, or the sin that clings. What is it? Well, first of all, I think it's unbelief. And that can be a problem when you're not sure and you are continually doubting your salvation and doubting whether you belong to God. Hebrews chapter 3 describes some of those people. They did not believe God. I recently asked a man who came to my home, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And he said, oh, I think so, but I'm not really sure. Well, he was more honest than most people. Can anyone be sure, you ask? Well, John believed we could be sure, and he said, "These things write I unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life." And not to know means we are not believing God, or if we have heard God, we are doubting God. So with many people there is a wavering, and that wavering hinders us in the race. Woe to the runner who begins a race but who is not sure that he can finish. In all probability, he won't. That doubt will haunt him, and it will weaken him. You see, running a race requires confidence. Confidence is essential. Can we be confident in regard to eternal life? And can we be confident being children of God? Yes, we can, because He has promised that He would never leave us. And many times, when Jesus wanted to emphasize the truthfulness of His word, He said, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly." He gave promises that we could depend upon. Now, after shedding the hindrances, we are to run, according to verse 1, we are to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Listen to this verse again. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." There is persevering and enduring that is required, and it begins in training. I recall when I reached the ripe age of 50 and wanted to begin running again. So I did. I set out a 12-lap course, and on that first lap I hurt so badly that I knew I could not endure the 11 more laps. Well, I asked myself, can I endure one more? Yes, and I did it, and the pain was less with each lap. I took one at a time. Well, the Christian life is similar. Ask a Christian, "Can you read the entire Bible this week?" "Of course not." "How about in a year?" "Yes." But even that calls for a schedule of discipline. And so does memorizing scripture. It calls for discipline. It means you not only have to memorize, but you need to review each day. Well, if you're interested in memorizing scripture, the Radio Bible Course can help you. We have developed a Bible teaching memory program with selected verses which everyone should know, plus written notes on the back of those printed cards to help you to interpret the passage correctly within the context. There is no blessing like the blessing of getting the Word of God in your heart. Remember what our Lord said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, scripture memory is one of those ways. We'd like to send you our first set of printed memory cards, along with a brochure that explains how you can be successful in Bible memory. All this is free from the Radio Bible Course. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.